Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. In this podcast, we'll explore trends, issues, and events surrounding Lutheran education. In each episode, we'll invite educational experts to shed light on topics that support educators, administrators, and staff. Thank you for listening to LSEM's Lutheran Education Podcast.
Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. It's the COVID-19 version of the Lutheran Special Education Podcast, broadcasting today from our homes, myself here in Garden City, Michigan, Kara Bratton with us today from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Kara, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And of course, our producer, Dave Klonke. I don't know where Dave lives, but he's on mute, so he's somewhere here in Metro Detroit, and he's setting everything up and doing a great job for us, so we thank him for all of his work. But we wanted to come and talk to you today about special education and how this pandemic and the school closures are affecting delivery of academics to our students with special needs. And so Kara has been doing some work and some research and has some things to share with us today. So let's just jump right into it here then, Kara. First question that I have for you is, a lot of the information that's coming out that we see online has to do with public schools. For our non-public schools that are listening to this podcast, can you just give an overview of the differences between what the public school requirements are and how they impact or don't impact non-public schools?
Sure. And first, let me start with a disclaimer, or a couple of disclaimers, actually. One being that I'm kind of speaking in general to our Christian and parochial schools right now, realizing that these things might be different in your state and in your district, especially if your school or your program is using any kind of state funding, any kind of voucher funding. Those entities are kind of writing their own rules for this as they go. So keep in mind, most of what we're discussing today is just kind of non-public schools in general, if they're not subject to any of these other, you know, voucher state laws. So please just keep that in mind. Also keep in mind that, you know, as we are recording this, information is probably changing. And by the time we're done recording this podcast, the information I'm giving out might be totally different. So, you know, just always keep in mind that the timeliness of things, that things are rapidly changing. And, you know, at LSEM, we're doing our best to keep up, but you just don't know when things are changing.
So, absolutely.
So with that being said, one of the things right now between public schools and non-public schools has been communication about how these closures are affecting evaluations and the timeline for evaluations that maybe were in process before your school closed or before your school went to e-learning, and how all of that is being affected. So in general, what they're saying right now is certain pieces of evaluations might be able to take place if they can take place without a, you know, being person to person. So if it's an evaluation where like a school psychologist needs to be sitting across the table with a student one-on-one or doing a classroom observation, that those things are likely being put on hold right now. So a lot of that process, you know, is one-to-one. So keep that in mind if you had a student in mid-process of being evaluated or the paperwork was being filled out, that timeline is kind of out the window right now because schools cannot do face-to-face instruction. On the other hand, you know, the government is saying that annual IEPs or service plan reviews, most of our schools are, you know, calling them, you know, case conferences or reviews for service plans that happen yearly, and a lot of those are happening toward the end of the year. those can still happen remotely. So obviously they're not going to be happening face-to-face right now, but your school district may be able to schedule that remotely so that you're connecting on, you know, a GoToMeeting or a Zoom or just a phone call. So those things can still happen, but obviously they are taking into consideration, you know, the family, if they are, you know, have internet accessible, if the teacher has internet accessible, you know, so there are obviously some considerations there, but they are still trying to hold those meetings if they can do so remotely. So those are, I think, the two things that I'm getting questions about and kind of seeing, you know, again, how the public school, what they're doing is impacting our non-public and parochial schools.
All right. So it seems like an obvious statement, but just to be very clear. So schools, again, if you can have the IEP remotely and everyone agrees to having the IEP remotely, it's possible, but schools should not in any way force a meeting where everyone comes together in a school building to do this, obviously with social distancing.
Correct. Yes, I think, and it seems to me that a lot of the public schools really are taking that initiative and, you know, scheduling things online and not even trying to do in person right now.
We're talking with Kara Bratton about dealing with special education issues during this school closure period here on the Lutheran Education Podcast. So, Kara, in terms of some of the differences of what we're seeing in instruction, obviously there's so many things that you are limited in being able to do using Zoom or Google Classroom or any of the other online platforms. And there's limits to the number of students who have access to these different platforms. So lots of different ways to go about presenting the information. What sorts of tips and advice would you have for the teachers in terms of what should they be focusing on if they have a pretty wide array of technology, and what should they focus on if there's not any technology available to the students they're working with?
Sure. So as you mentioned, there definitely is a wide variety of things happening right now. And, you know, my first recommendation is to, you know, for a special educator, someone running a resource room, you know, look to what is the pattern, what is the school overall doing? You know, again, we have some states that are granting waiver days where there are days of instruction that no instruction needs to happen. And then there are other schools with spring break involved. So, you know, with special education, you don't want to be that outlier where, you know, instruction for the rest of the students is not happening on Monday and Fridays, and the special educator is assigning something on Mondays and Fridays. So first, you know, look to what your school is doing. I think consistency is key because for a lot of our students with special needs, you know, they need that routine. So if the school is using like a Google Classroom type of thing, you know, use that same kind of technology so that students are learning this at the same time as teachers are, where we know our students are very proficient with technology for the most part. You know, again, some of them aren't, but this is new to them too, trying to learn this way. So we need to, just like we do in the classroom, we need to keep their needs in mind and see how they're responding to different things. And, you know, different kids might, you know, respond differently to using Zoom and seeing the teacher, you know, over Zoom versus, you know, emailing the teacher or just getting a packet at home. So again, just keeping those individual differences in mind and kind of figuring out what's going to work for them. I know I heard from one teacher, you know, typically she would meet with the student face to face in the school for, you know, 60 minutes, you know, 3 days a week, and the student could do pretty well with that. Well, on a Zoom call, the student is not able to sit at home and, you know, meet with her for 60 minute face to face. It's just, it's too much. So they had to, you know, kind of adjust and say, okay, let's just do this in, you know, 20 or 30 minute increments and meet a couple times, you know, a day versus one longer stretch. So all of those things, you know, considerations, I think they just need to be taken into account even more for our kids with special needs right now, because it's not going to be a one size fits all type of thing. The other thing to really focus on too, with special education right now, is also just documenting is still very, very important. You know, documenting is going to be look different, and it's going to be a different kind of documentation right now, but it still is very important to document what's being offered to students, when it's being offered. If you offer to meet with the student remotely, 3 days a week, and the student doesn't show up or doesn't log in any of those three times, those are important notes to make. And obviously I'd encourage you too, if the student doesn't show up the first time, you know, send the parents a message, send them a reminder, and, you know, make sure that they're not having any issues with technology or can we do this a different way type of thing. Don't let it go the whole week before you check in. But again, you know, documenting that, whether it's in a lesson plan book or whether it's easier for you to do something else, you know, documentation is still going to be important to show what was being offered and, you know, how the student was kind of doing with those things. Not grades so much, but again, still just kind of having a record. So if it was ever questioned, like, hey, were any type of special services offered during this time, then there is that documentation in place. And I think I probably got a little bit off track of your question, Rich, but was that kind of what you were looking for? Or do you want me to go into more specifics in an area?
No, that's fine. And I guess what I would say to just add to your point, it sounds to me like teachers right now, special ed, general ed, across the board, should be focusing on two things, flexibility and grace. Flexibility because this is new for us, but it's new for our kids. It's new for our kids' parents who are also trying to work with their students at home while they're possibly working 30, 40-hour jobs at home as well. So everybody's establishing new routines here on the fly. So flexibility is going to be key. And grace, because again, we're going to have some kids who are going to be overwhelmed by the newness of all of this and assignments coming to them electronically. And we're going to have parents overwhelmed by all of this too. So it's more than just working with your special needs student now. There's also the parent factor here as well that I think teachers need to play into part. And I think that came through in the answer that you gave. One thing that I would ask though is, what suggestions do you have for, again, those teachers who have students who just simply don't have reliable internet or a computer where they can do these things in an online format? What sorts of approaches might make most sense in those situations?
Sure. What a lot of schools seem to be doing right now as well is, especially before spring break or kind of around this time, is doing more of a, you know, sending packets home, sending homework packets or work packets if they know that, you know, technology is not going to be there and they can't meet live with a student. So that is definitely an appropriate thing too, you know, with limited technology or if the student just isn't responding well to technology as well. But a lot of schools are also using those types of learning packets to, if that's the way they go, not introduce new material, at least not right away. You know, maybe if this goes on longer, there might be that opportunity or that need for new material. But right now, you know, just kind of focusing on, okay, are there skills that the child does need to practice and they could practice fairly independently at home or, you know, with a parent kind of supervising, not so much that the parent has to teach that from the special educator and the special education side of things, but are there those skills you just want to have the student, you know, practice and master? And those could be, you know, paper versions of skills that are sent home. Then if there are those skills, those are great. But then, you know, also too, as this moves on, the longer students are out of school, it could be that, you know, those things need to be a little more focused on IEP goals and IEP objectives rather than just review. And in those cases too, if technology is not available, those could be, you know, hard copies either mailed home or, you know, some schools are doing packet pickups with, you know, the teacher waving in the front of the school as the parent drives through. But that could also be, you know, most families are going to have access to a phone. So that could even be the teacher just talking to them on the phone. Maybe there's no face-to-face, but if there is some kind of new, more structured instruction that the teacher would like for that student, maybe talking on the phone or putting it on speakerphone so the parent is kind of hearing what that instruction is as well, if they need to help at home, that would certainly also be appropriate. The biggest thing too, depending on the needs of the student, is also just making sure that however you provide it, whether that is, you know, pencil and paper and you know, hard copies of things, or moving to more, you know, phone instruction, just keeping in mind that accessibility, you know, if based on those students' needs, even over the phone, okay, if it's a student that is hard of hearing or has a hearing impairment, okay, what considerations are we going to make for that? Or if it's a student with a more visual impairment, you know, those things seem obvious. And a lot of times to a special educator, that's just kind of second nature. But also just for classroom teachers, you know, to keep that in mind right now too, making sure however they provide this instruction, making sure it's accessible for the students in their classroom that have special needs. And again, comes back to knowing that, you know, they might respond differently to the whole class instruction that's happening for the whole school at that time too. Also, just to kind of chime in on something you had said earlier, Rich, about the flexibility and grace components of this, which I think are huge. What I found very interesting is I've kind of been on a series of webinars from the Council for Exceptional Children, just to kind of keep up to date with what is coming down from the federal level and from public schools. And they are really focusing even on that level about those two things, that flexibility and grace, that they are telling at that level, even public school educators, not to worry so much about deadlines and minutes of instruction, but really have a broader view of special education at this point, and keeping in mind what is appropriate and what's reasonable in light of the circumstances. And a few years ago, there was a really, really big Supreme Court case regarding special education. And it was the Andrew F. case that really, you know, kind of challenged that free appropriate public education standard, which in our parochial schools, we do not have to worry about. But right now, they keep referring back to that wording about what's appropriate. And what the Supreme Court said at that point was that it enables a child to make progress that's appropriate in light of the child's circumstances. So right now, the child's circumstances is they're not at school. They're learning at home. They might have social, emotional things going on. They might, you know, be, you know, experiencing, you know, just some anxiety, some depression, other emotional things outside of their typical academic and things that you're used to seeing at school. So even the, you know, the federal kind of regulations at this point, there really, you know, are no regulations written for something like this, but they're just right. Saying, again, be flexible and, you know, show grace to kids. They're not using that word, but, you know, we in our schools kind of can use that word. And, you know, just being flexible with the child's needs and figuring out what is appropriate. The other thing that they're really focused on now too, and, you know, they say that, you know, all of these rules, these special education rules, whether that's from the federal level or whether that's even from, you know, the state, if you're, again, using your state uses vouchers or scholarships or any other kind of funding, they're really trying to emphasize with each state that these rules were not written for a pandemic. These special education rules and regulations were written for ideal circumstances when kids are in school. So, you know, to go back to those rules right now just really is not appropriate for kids, because those rules were not written for this very, very unique situation that we're in. So everybody, even at the federal level, just has to be flexible right now. And again, just really focus on what do these kids need and how can I help support that? And then once school is back in session, whether that's this year, whether that's in the summer, whether that's in August, you know, nobody really knows. But when students come back, then it's really the opportunity to sit down with those students and see, okay, where are they? You know, because they're not going to be on the same track they were on in March when you last saw them in person. So really kind of looking at where are they now and how do we need to revise things? If that was, you know, formal goals that were written for the student, you know, I'm telling our teachers, don't, you know, you want the student to make progress, but don't worry that they're not on that same track toward that goal. But when they come back, just kind of assess where they are and revisit the plan. Revise the plan once the student is back in school. Don't worry about revising the plan now. And again, not worrying so much about that specific, you know, documentation to that level. But just seeing when they come back, where are they? How can I meet those needs when they come back? Knowing that their instruction was different, they're not going to be getting probably the same number of minutes or hours of instruction from you during this time. And don't worry so much about that, but just focus on what's appropriate and what's reasonable. Just like the Andrew F. case said, in light of the child's circumstances. So it really kind of involves taking that step back and looking at the bigger picture right now.
Wow, a lot of great advice there. And I know we focused on things for our special education teachers around Synod and at Christian schools, but a lot of that same information applies for our general education teachers as well. I would think that now is as important a time as ever for our gen ed teachers to also be making accommodations for their special needs students and really looking at a broader view of the whole situation that we're in as a society, as schools, and as these families, and make decisions on what is being assigned and what the expectations are of those students that they're, again, continuing to receive, as you've said, an appropriate education under the circumstances. So that way it's not left behind, but also not left untouched so that these kids have reasons to get upset and frustrated and really start to lose ground. So again, just strikes me as being appropriate in that sense. So let me just ask you the question then, based on that, what other advice would you give to our general education teachers who might be listening to this podcast, who have students in their classroom, who have special needs? What types of things should they be taking from this conversation?
Well, and I would even broaden that too, and just to say, you know, while we're talking about special education and maybe students with identified special needs or that gen ed teachers know in an ideal classroom setting, okay, that student has a service plan or a 504 or whatever the case might be. But really right now, I feel like this applies to all students, you know, that maybe don't have diagnosed needs or any type of service plan. Because students at home learning are all going to react differently than they would in the classroom. So I think for general education teachers, you know, again, if they know the student has a service plan, they know what tips and tricks work for those students when they're in the classroom, you know, start there. And, you know, if a student gets extended time, you know, if you know they do better without a lot of noise, you know, consider those things or, you know, talk to parents about how to make those things happen at home. But also just being open to the fact that, hey, these things we have documented for the school year, they might not work well. Maybe they will. But just being kind of flexible. And I think parent communication is huge with that, too, because you know, maybe an older student, maybe they could tell you, hey, this isn't working well for me. You know, I really don't like the video. It's just too much stimulus. You know, that kind of thing. If they're on a call with multiple kids, you know, that could be overwhelming. There could be an overwhelming amount of noise. But a lot of times the child is not going to necessarily know that to tell the teacher. So having the teacher communicate with parents when you know that child does have a difference in how they learn what they're learning, the rate of their learning, talk to the parents and see, hey, how do you think this is working? What adjustments can I make to help your child? So whether that's a child with a diagnosed need or that you know is going to need some extra support, or just checking in with your parents in general, which I know all teachers are doing now, but just to see how they're doing. You know, different things are popping up now, needs that we don't see in the classroom. So I think that parent communication is huge, just to get feedback on what tweaks might need to be made for any student.
We're talking with Kara Bratton. She's the Director of Special Education at Lutheran Special Education Ministries, discussing the challenges that we're facing now with our special needs students in light of this pandemic and the school closures that have come about as a result of it. Kara, just a couple of more things for you here. You referenced the Council for Exceptional Children as being one of the sources where you've got some information, and some of the conversation we've had today was based on that. Do you have any other sources that you might want to recommend to any of our special educators listening today, and not necessarily links to, hey, try this program or that program? I think the internet is pretty inundated with those types of things, but if someone's looking for clarity or clarification guidance on a policy basis, besides CEC, any others that would come to mind as being good sources?
Well, I would say, you know, other than Council for Exceptional Children, I would look to your state Department of Education. I have found that I follow a number of them on, you know, social media, not just Indiana where I live. But they have been really, really great about passing down information that is coming from the federal level, as well as information specific to their state, you know, regarding state assessments, you know, how instructional days are looking. So I would definitely look to your state Department of Education as a great resource. Also, your LCMS district, if you're an LCMS school, you know, or if you have some kind of, you know, other network for your parochial school, your non-public school, they have also been very, very great about, you know, remaining in contact with those federal agencies or state agencies and passing down information. I know, you know, Rich, you in Michigan, the MANS group in Indiana, you know, the IMPEA group, they have been great and, you know, great advocates for our schools and making sure that there's up-to-date information. So I would look to those sources, you know, before looking to different Facebook articles that are popping up, which would drive anybody crazy. But I will also put a plug in that the Council for Exceptional Children right now, even if you are not a special educator, they are offering teachers free memberships through the end of the year. So if you do feel like you have a good number of students with special needs in your class, or just wondering how else you might reach them if things you're doing aren't working as well as you would like, go to cec.sped, it's S-P-E-D, so cec.sped.org, and you can sign up for a free membership through the end of the year. And they are offering great webinars right now, great information, and again, they are also passing down information as it's coming from the federal level about guidelines. So those are the sources I would recommend. I think kind of less is more in this case, but I think focusing on those will give you and continue to give you up-to-date and reliable information.
All right. And as we always do when we talk to you, Kara, if any of the educators listening to this podcast wanted to reach out to you to ask more specific questions, get some guidance, or even to look into how LSCM can help their school once we get back into school, how would they go about reaching out to you?
Sure. Well, one, you can visit our website, which is luthsped.org, luthsped.org. And we have information there, also contact information. But my email is kbratton, that's kbratton at luthsped.org. And I'm happy, even before schools are out or schools are back in session, I'm happy to answer questions that teachers might have if something's working or not working well for a student. Feel free to shoot me an email, and we will help as much as we can at this time.
All right, excellent. Once again, Director of Special Education at Lutheran Special Education Ministries, Kara Bratton, thank you for your time today and great information. Always informative when we talk with you, and appreciate your time and the work you're doing on behalf of LSEM's programs, but Lutheran schools across the country and around the world for that matter.
Yep, thank you for having me, Rich.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. This has been the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. To hear future episodes, please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. For more information on this episode's topic or any other questions regarding Lutheran education or Lutheran Special Education Ministries, please feel free to contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.